Looking at duty, talking about duty last week. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In the interest of duty, I decided to have a review this morning of 1 John. So we can go there. We're just going to have a conversive review of 1 John here. Pretty much universal agreement. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Gospel of John, Book of Revelation were all written by the Apostle John. 1 John here, primarily written to combat Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is Gnostic. It's secret knowledge. So the Gnostics thought they had some kind of secret knowledge or some kind of knowledge above and beyond what just normal people or other people had. And that's, Gnosticism permeates almost everything today. It permeates a lot of the professing church today because people think they have some knowledge above and beyond even what the scriptures say, because they very often negate or ignore or combat scripture one against another. So 1 John is still very relevant to us today. But we're just going to go through it here and talk about it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John here talking. The disciple that Jesus loved, the disciple that loved Jesus, laid his head upon Jesus' chest there at the Last Supper. This is him talking. That which we have seen and heard. Okay, that which was from the beginning. He's talking about Jesus here. From the beginning, that which was pre-existent. So when the beginning happened, he was already there. That which was already in the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. They listened to Jesus. They listened to him talk. They listened to the instructions. We've heard. We've seen with our eyes. We've looked upon. And our hands have handled. Not only have we seen him, we know that he exists, but we have heard. We have looked upon him. We have watched him. We have observed him. That which was from the beginning, we've seen, we've touched, we've heard. John saying this wasn't just some figment of the imagination. This wasn't just something that was brought about. This wasn't, as the Gnostics taught, some mystical appearance. This was true flesh. This was a real man. He came and inserted himself into the time, into our time. And John says, we've heard him. We've seen him. We've looked upon him. In other words, we've examined him. And our hands have handled of the word of life, the word of life. And then he inserts a parenthetical here. In other words, he's talking, and then he says an aside to explain something. And he says, for the life was manifested. The life, that which was from the beginning, the word of life, That word was incarnate and manifested to us. He came in bodily form and was manifested to us. And we have seen it and bear witness. Now we're telling you about it. We're giving witness to it and show to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. See, He's laying down his argument and explaining that he knows. He was there with Jesus. He understands all this. And now I'm trying to explain that to you. That's what he's saying. Don't listen to all the garbage. That word of life the scriptures themselves, because Jesus is the Word, He is the Word manifest and made flesh, which is John is saying, and we, the disciples, we, His apostles, we saw it. We touched Him, we heard Him, we understood Him, we watched Him, we examined Him, we know it was Him. The Messiah came, the Word of life, the Word of God manifested unto us, and we know it's Him. That's what He's explaining. We don't need some mystical knowledge. We don't need some higher knowledge that everybody thinks that they can have. If we listen to the false teachings and the heresies, we don't need that because we know the truth. And the truth is the scriptures. The truth is the Word of God, which was from the beginning. And God took that, the embodiment of His Word, the totality of His Word, which at the time this was written and that John's talking, was Genesis to Malachi. We know that Word, the embodiment of it, was taken and was manifested and put into the flesh, and Jesus came and lived it out. That's what He's saying. We don't need some mystical knowledge that says, no, we don't need to pay attention to that. We need to listen to some higher truth. No, no, no. John's saying, no, 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 no. For that life that I explained that was from the beginning was manifested, and it came and it manifested itself here. I'm explaining that to you because we've seen it. We're testifying of that to you because this is the truth. We're showing you that eternal life which came in the embodiment of Christ. That's what we're doing. He was with the Father from the beginning, and He was manifested unto us. John says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We're not making this up. We're not claiming some mystical knowledge apart from the scriptures, Bible aside. We don't need that. We have the truth. We have the Word that was here before us, and now we're trying to explain that to you. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, this is what we're declaring to you. We're telling you the truth. This is what we are saying. And that's why John keeps saying we, because he's talking about the embodiment of the apostles. He's including even Paul here. We are telling you that, and this is the embodiment. That's what the New Testament is all about. It's explaining and exemplifying God's perfect law, which was laid out in the older covenant. We're declaring this unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. We're calling you to join us. We want you to fellowship with us. We're not coming to fellowship with you and your Gnostic beliefs and your heresies and your laying aside of Scripture and your laying aside of the truth of God's eternal Word from beginning to end. We're not coming to join. We're telling you this, that you might have fellowship with us, that you might come into the truth with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're telling you this, that you might understand the truth, that truth which was manifested, that truth which was from the beginning manifested unto us. We're declaring this unto you so that you can have fellowship with us. You can leave all your heresies. You can leave all your Gnostic beliefs. You can leave all of your foolishness, and you can come and you can step into fellowship with us because we are fellowshipping with the Father and with the Son. And we want you to enter into that. We're not going to leave our fellowship with the Father and Son to enter into your heresies. We're not going to, there's no way we're going to drag the Father and Son with us into your fellowship with your heresies. It's not going to happen. So we are declaring this to you so that you might hear and obey the truth, and come in with us, and fellowship with us. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Anything short of that is false joy. Nothing can satisfy the human desire for joy like fellowship with the Son, like fellowship with the Father, like fellowship with the truth. Any divorcing of truth from fellowship is not going to work. It leaves an empty place. I don't like the old adage, you know, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. I think that leans toward goofiness, but there is some truth in it, in the fact that without God, there is emptiness. There is a void within the human soul and spirit. That we must have fellowship with God, otherwise everything else is just vain. And this is one of the attempts of man to reach as far as he can into something else, so that he can try to fill, so he can try to satisfy that empty joy. And he'll do almost anything. He'll try this. Well, that don't work. He'll try this. Well, that don't work. He'll try almost everything except what does actually fill it, which is fellowship with the Father and with the Son. We're telling you these things so that your joy might be full. You can come into fellowship with God. You can come into fellowship with true believers, and you can have unity. That's the only thing that's going to fill that joy. Everything else is going to be empty. Some things might satisfy for a time, because there's a false sense of fulfillment that, I found something. And then a little while later, it's just empty, because it's not fellowship with God. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you. This is what we've heard. In a nutshell, this is what we've heard, and this is what we're declaring unto you. And what is that? What is it that we've heard that John basically cramps down into one little sentence? And it covers everything. This is what we've heard, and this is what we're declaring unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? John says, this is what we've heard of him, and this is what we declare with you, to declare unto you. God's light, and in him is no darkness at all. When there's pure, perfect light, there's no room for darkness. That's why Jesus combated the false light that was there. If the light that be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? That false light that's given forth, why is it false light? Why is he saying that God is light? God is pure, unadulterated truth. In him is no error. In him is no turning aside. In him is no darkness whatsoever, no obfuscation, no covering of the truth, no rejecting of any of the scripture to prove my point, no rejecting of anything that is of God, because he's light. And when that light shines, it exposes everything. And we'll get to it a little bit later on, but remember what Jesus said about light? Men hate light. Why? Because it exposes them. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So you can't try to hide behind darkness in order to reject parts of scripture that you just don't like. Like I said, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, you can't do that. God is light. Nothing about him is obfuscated. And if you flee to that darkness, you've become part of the problem. People like that, why don't they just be like that little Chinese guy at the university that when Brother Charlie opened the guy's Bible, it's all the white out. I didn't like those verses, so I whited them out. Well, at least he's honest. Okay, he changed the Bible. He just deleted out what he didn't like. He's full of darkness. And so this is the truth that was declared, that John is declaring unto all. This is the truth that we heard from that eternal life, and that we're declaring unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The purity of his word is from beginning to end, and there is no change. Then he says, if we say we have fellowship with him, here you go. we say we have fellowship with him, but do what? But obfuscate the scriptures. But walk in darkness. If we say we have fellowship with God, doesn't matter how often you talk about this Jesus of yours. It doesn't matter how outwardly pious you try to be. But if you say you have fellowship with the truth and reject part of that truth, you lie. What does he say? You lie and do not the truth. If you say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I have fellowship with Jesus. Well, yeah, did you see this back here in Deuteronomy chapter 24? Well, that's Old Testament. You lie and do not the truth. Period. There's no other way around it. You have rejected that which was from the beginning. You have rejected the truth of God's word. You've obfuscated it. You've rejected the light because the light, men hate the light because it reveals the nature of their own deceit. And they don't like it. Men don't like it. But John here says, if you say you have fellowship with him and reject part of him, he's the truth. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Oh, well, I'll reject that little part. No, sorry, you're following a different Jesus. You're following something that is not of the scriptures. You're not following that which was from the beginning. You have no fellowship with him. You say you do, but you're a liar. Ah, but here is that which counters it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, well, that's a whole mouthful right there. If we walk in the light, what is the light? The truth of God's word. Jesus said he is the light. We are to be light on the earth to do what? To reveal truth. To hold to truth. To hold to understanding, pure, true understanding of the doctrines of God. That's what we're supposed to do. He's light. We're light. The scriptures are light. They reveal. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, not as I decide. Not as I decide what light is or what's not light. Or when God decided to change his mind about certain things. Or when God just decided, oh, can't do that anymore. I got to do something different. No, no, no. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is without shadow of turning. He is unchangeable. He is the same throughout eternity. God don't change anything because God's light is pure. It was from the beginning. He didn't have to add more light. He is light. So if we walk in the light, the truth of the Word of God, from beginning to end, as he is in the light, because this is him, Jesus was the Word of God manifested in the flesh, then we have fellowship one with another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's when that happens. First, we walk in the light as he is in the light, the truth and understanding of the totality of Scripture. We walk in that. Then we have fellowship one with another, those who are doing that. You don't have fellowship with somebody that ignores half of the Bible. Not biblical fellowship. That's what I'm talking about. Not walking in the truth of duty that God declares, fear God and keep his commandments. Not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Fear God and keep his doctrine. Keep his teachings. Keep his commandments. The whole of the nut, all of it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Then we have fellowship one with another. Then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. cleanseth us from all sin. What is sin? If we say, okay, we understand that. Walking in the light, agreeing with God, disagreeing with the Gnostics, disagreeing with the heresies, rejecting that, rejecting error. And then Jesus can cleanse us from all sin. Now, he says, if we say that we have no sin, in what sense? What sense is he talking about here? He's talking about walking in the light. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we haven't departed from the light, if we say that, oh, we have fellowship with Jesus, but walk in darkness, that's the sin he's talking about specifically. Sure, all of the sin of mankind is under the umbrella. The principle of sin is under the umbrella. But the context of what he's speaking about exactly right here is that. If we say we have no sin, oh, we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness. I have no sin. I'm in fellowship with God. I'm walking in darkness. I'm not in error. I have fellowship with Jesus. Really? But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Remember what he said? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The truth is not in us. The Bible's not difficult. It's not hard to understand. Unless you pick and choose, do your henpecked and choosing from what you want to believe out of the Bible. You take two or three different verses. Every single cult under the umbrella of what it calls Christianity, whether it's Mormonism, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, whether it's Unitarianism, whatever it is, every single cult was started by choosing one verse and building doctrine on it instead of the doctrine of the complete scriptures. That's where a lot of the heresies in the Mennonites and Plain Communities and Charity movements is, right there. They prefer one scripture over another one. Why? Because they walk in darkness. Say they have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness, and the truth is not in them. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, universally, what does that mean? On a larger scale, what does that mean? If I say that I have no need for Jesus to cleanse me, then I lie and I walk in darkness. I'm deceived and I walk in darkness. Same principle. Same principle. However, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in the context of what John is talking about here, where is that going? If we confess that, yes, I have been walking in darkness, yes, I have rejected parts of the scriptures, yes, I have rejected some of the truth. I see the truth now. It has been laid out to me. I now understand that if I'm going to have fellowship with Jesus, I must embrace all of him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How many people have never been in error before? Not a single person. So yes, if we recognize our error, if we understand that I thought I was walking in light, but the scriptures, but the light has revealed that light, that darkness which was in me, which I was calling light, and that darkness was great, it's been revealed, and now I accept, I understand it, and I reject my former ideas, and I embrace all of Jesus, not just the parts that I think are palatable to me or my movement. Then he is just to forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's going to make everything right. He's going to continue to open our eyes to the truth so that we understand more. That's how God works. It's how he's always worked. Do what you know to do. Do what the scriptures say as you understand it. Praying for more, continue to walk in it, and God, and if your heart's open, God will continue to open the scriptures to you. That's how he's always done it. So if we say we have no need of correction, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned in these aspects, no, I'm right, I haven't sinned. No, my doctrine's right. I know I reject parts of the Bible, but it doesn't matter, my doctrine's right. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Because he said it was truth. He said that which was from the beginning. We make him, if we cling to our false doctrines and false beliefs, if we cling to the fact that, no, I've got this verse down and I understand and this is the way it is, and I reject parts of the Bible, well, you know, they're not going to come out and say that I reject parts of the Bible. No, they're not going to come right out and say that. But that's what happens, because as soon as you take them to the parts of the Bible that explain Jesus' teachings, that explain things in the way they need to be laid out, as soon as you bring them to parts of the Bible that divert them from the path of their little movement, guess what? They reject it. Oh, I see where you're going. Yeah, and you don't like that train, do you? As soon as you see where that train's going, uh-oh, wait a minute. If I'm going to believe Jesus in the Bible, I'm going to have to reject some of my own beliefs, some of my own desires. Uh-oh, now I see where this is going. I'm getting off. That's what they do every single time. If they have the attitude, I've not sinned. They make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Well, I'm just rejecting part of the Bible. The rest of us, no. His word is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the truth is not in us. His word is not in us. It's not there, which is the truth, right? Three times in this short passage, John has said, if this, then the truth is not in you. If this, then the truth is not in you. If this, then the truth, his word, is not in you. We make him a liar. If we haven't embraced Jesus for who he is, the embodiment of the scriptures, the embodiment of the totality of truth that came here as a human and in flesh, that the apostles and disciples laid their hands on and saw him and listened to him and observed him. If we don't embrace the totality of who and what he was, then you walk in darkness. And the truth is not in you. If we say that we have not sinned, okay, more broadly, what is it? If we say that we've not sinned, if we say that those things that we've done, that's not sin, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us, because he explained what sin is, and he's going to explain it more later on. Sin is transgression of the law. If you say you've never transgressed the law, I'm okay, I'm not worried about it, everything's fine, God will understand. No. He said his word's not in you. You're making him a liar. So what we have here is the apostle laying out the truth of the word of God, laying out the concept and the idea that Jesus came, the embodiment of the truth of all of the scriptures, came to more thoroughly explain it. Not to change it. Not to change his mind and decide that he'd done everything wrong before and now he's got to do something different. Not to execute plan B, step two of his great plan, because people messed up plan one. No, it was all planned from the beginning. He came to more thoroughly and more acutely explain what the plan was. He didn't change anything. He was that which was from the beginning, manifested here in the flesh. He was seen. He was heard. He was examined. And there was fellowship with him. That's the only way we're going to have fellowship with him, is to embrace all of him. Because as John said, he wants our joy to be full. That's the only way it's going to be full, to accept him, to embrace him as he is, for what he is. You know, that's why a lot of those people are so miserable. That's why a lot of those people have false humility, and they have a false sense of enjoyment, because they haven't embraced God. They haven't embraced the truth of his word. God is light. There's no darkness in him. God is truth. There's no error in him. God is right. There's no falsehood in him. God got it right from the beginning. There's no going back and changing something because he messed it up. God's right. He was right when he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's still right today. Because that truth is truth. And we cannot deceive ourselves into thinking that he made a mistake somewhere along the way. We can't deceive ourselves into thinking with the Gnostics that there's some greater, higher knowledge that's not actually, that trumps the Bible. Well, I know the Bible says that, but Jesus came and changed. No, he didn't. You know, that we know that wouldn't make him a false prophet. If Jesus came and said anything contrary to the law, did anything contrary to the law, came to change anything in the law, he would have been a false prophet. They'd have been right for hanging him on a cross, or stoning him, or putting him to death. But that's not true. Jesus was righteous and holy. He was light. And that's why they hated him. He was the embodiment of the totality of scriptures, which lays out direction and instruction for mankind in almost its finitest examples and attitudes. The precepts of scripture do not change. The precepts of scripture have laid it out. And men hate that light. Because either it cuts across their own grain, I want to do what I want to do, and I'm not listening to that. We will not have this man to rule over us. Or they're comfortable in their little group or movement, and, well, if I change that, then I'll be rejected by my movement. Oh, isn't that a shame? It's too bad you've been rejected by God. You deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. Isn't that such a shame? If men would just embrace the Bible, if men would just embrace the truth for what it is, confess, forsake, and follow God and be cleansed. People every day are making Jesus a liar by changing whatever it is they want to change. By holding to false doctrines and false ideas from some Gnostic concept that this is a greater truth. By changing things, thinking, well, I'm playing it safer. Really, safer than what God laid out for us to do. What's safer than that? Well, I'm just going to play it safe. That's not safe. That's danger. People are going to stand before God and have to explain to God why they rejected the preponderance of his word in lieu of three or four verses that they twisted to their own design. Men twist the scriptures, Paul said. They distort the truth. He said there'll be many false prophets and few that are saved. Well, not anymore. Now people think, oh, many will be saved. There's just a few false prophets. Those people that teach the law, they're legalists. What's a legalist? Well, the truth of what a legalist is clear to understand. Someone teaching man-made doctrines over God's law, and expecting people to abide by it, that's a legalist. Who are the real legalists? Who are the real Pharisees? Who are the real ones that are twisting God's law and bearing and putting it on other people, burdens hard to be borne? Who is it that are doing that? It's the heretics. It's the people that say that they're closer to God because I'm in this certain movement. No, they're the heretics. They're the legalists. They're the Pharisees. Because they will not bow down to the truth of God's word. So there is no light in them. There is no truth in them. And the word of God is not in them. We ought to pray to keep praying that those people change and decide to embrace the totality of God's word instead of just the little pieces that they prefer. We're going to see about moving forward with John next time. We didn't go too long, but that's good. I don't want to jump into chapter 2 because I'm going to try to get at least full chapters done in each message. So we'll try to do chapter 2 next time. But we got to understand. I'm not just talking about other people and trying to belittle other people. I'm pointing out examples. Certainly, Jesus did that. The apostles did that. They all did that. It's almost impossible to do a teaching without pointing out examples. So sure, I'm pointing out examples. But to us, I'm talking to us so that we don't lose the grip that we have. And if our grip is slipping, so that we grab a hold tighter. And that we excel and continue growing in grace, that we might grab more of Jesus. I don't know everything. I don't have all of Him embodied and embraced. All that I do know of, that I know of Him, I have. So the importance is clinging unto that light so that we can continue to move forward. And as long as we're moving forward, God is going to continue to reveal things to us. But as soon as we stagnate, back up, take a step back, prefer this instead of, yeah, I know this is right, but I want to do this. As soon as those things start to happen, we're regressing back into darkness. I don't want any of us to think that we can regress in any way back into darkness and still be of the truth. In that sense, we're kind of embracing our own little Gnosticism, our own little higher knowledge that, okay, this is okay. I know what the Bible says, but this is okay. This is a higher knowledge I have, and I know God will understand. And it's not going to work that way. So we need to keep embracing, keep moving forward, keep improving, keep grasping for more of God's word and truth so that we can continue to be in the light. If we walk in the light, that's a continual verb tense. If we walk in the light, if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, as He has explained it, as He has brought it forth, if we continue to do that, then we have fellowship with Him. Then His blood can cleanse us from our sins. But if we begin to regress back into that darkness, He's not obligated. In fact, He's obligated to do just the opposite. If you're going to regress into darkness, how great is that darkness? So we have to understand, just because something shows forth as light, Jesus said, if the light that be in you be darkness. If you've departed from the word, if you're teaching heresy, if you're rejecting part of me, and you say you're light, if that light be darkness, how great is the darkness? Because you're putting on an air. You're putting on this false attitude. You're putting on this facade that says that you're fellowshipping with me, and yet you're darkness. How great is that darkness? Amen.